So let's get to God's word here this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to me with me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18. And let's just pray. Father, thank you so much for this time that we can gather around your word. And Lord, I pray that your word will speak. God, we need your word to speak. Holy Spirit, speak through your word to us today. Give us ears to hear what you're saying to us today as a church, what you're saying to us as individuals. Oh God, we need to hear from you. Be glorified today in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we are memorizing scripture. And we're going through the Sermon on the Mount. For those who are new, we as a church are going through a series through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, going verse by verse through that. And I've been challenging us to memorize the Beatitudes, the eight Beatitudes. And so we are looking at the first six, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I want to have joy in my heart. So whether you memorized them or not, they'll be up on the screen here. Would you just say them with me, please? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then verse 9, what we're memorizing this week, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Amen. You guys are awesome. It's like you didn't even need the screen. You're right on it. So the last couple of weeks, it's this little mini-series within the big series. The big series is the Sermon on the Mount. And there's a little mini-series that has taken place within the big series, and it's what I call the when you do's, and they're spiritual habits in our lives. And so Jesus is talking about when you give, when you pray, and today, when you fast, the when you do's. And Jesus is warning us, and the people he's talking to here, is that when you do these spiritual things, don't be like the hypocrites or like the Pharisees, where they do them to be seen by man, to be seen by others and say, wow, look at how much he's giving. Well, isn't he really cool? You know, don't be like those hypocrites, but do it in secret and let your reward come from God and not your reward come from man. And he has this umbrella statement that he says here at the beginning of this series, as it's Matthew 6:1, he says this: beware of practicing your righteousness. And the righteousness is the giving, the praying, and the fasting. Beware when you practice these things before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Isn't that interesting? That when you do these in order to be seen by others, then that's your reward. That's it. That's what you get. There's your reward. But wouldn't you rather have the reward that comes from God in heaven? And so he goes on to say, these are practices. These are spiritual habits that we have to establish in our lives. I mean, I've been saying this all along, is that good habits, whether they're spiritual or not, good habits are hard to start and easy to quit. Bad habits are easy to start and hard to quit. But these spiritual habits, these good habits within our lives, the habit of giving, the habit of praying, the habit of fasting, are blessings that are in our lives. Now, when you come to the last one, the third one, fasting, you look at the first two, and those things are pretty easy that we can set up, right, in our lives. Giving, I mean, we have automatic withdrawal from our checking account to give. I mean, we don't even have to think about it. Oh, yeah, that I gave this week. I didn't even realize it. You know, and so it's easy to kind of to set that up. Even in praying, it's easy to set up the habit of praying. This is my time of the day where I go and I find my place in my room, in my house, my closet or whatever, and I pray to God. That's where I do it. And we could set up that room of giving and praying, right? But fasting, now I think we as Christians struggle in the area of fasting, of in this idea of that it's a regular part of my routine in my life, of fasting. Now, some of you may have fasted before, like in the sense of a worldly fast, like, oh, I got to have a medical procedure, so I can't eat for, you know, I got to stop eating at, you know, 7 o'clock last night, and then my procedure is at 5 o'clock the next day, and you're like dying, you know, oh, I got to eat, you know. And so you do that. Some of you have never fasted before. And some of you, I mean, you come out of the womb, and you're like, oh, I don't need that, I'm fasting right now, you know. And you tell your mom, no, no thanks. And so fasting is normal people, us, not like, you know, those other guys. Normal people like us struggle in fasting, if I were to say so. Because let's be honest. This is just between me and you. Don't pay attention to the people online. I like food. I like to eat. How many like to eat? I mean, I was studying and preparing for this message last Tuesday. And the idea of Old Chicago Pizzeria just kept popping up in my mind while I was preparing for this message. And so I obeyed the Spirit and went to lunch at Old Chicago Pizzeria that day. And so, but you know, you just now as I'm talking about fasting, you're like, oh man, would you hurry up? I'm just getting kind of hungry. We like food, but it's hard habit to create within our lives, right? So this is what Jesus says about fasting. It's our passage today, Matthew 6, 16 through 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that fasting may not be seen by others, but your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So let me give you a little brief explanation of what Jesus is referring to here. When people disfigure their face and they begin to look gloomy, is fasting at that time was done in the time of sorrow, a time of reflection. It was a physical act. So Pharisees who would fast would often not bathe. They would go without bathing. They would go without trimming their beard or their hair. They would often actually get dust or ash and put it on themselves. It was a sign, a physical sign that they were fasting or mourning or seeking after God at that time. And it would be similar to us today. Of thinking of this is Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, if you grew up Catholic or know anything about the Catholicism, 40 days before Easter is Ash Wednesday, where they go in and they put the ash on their forehead. Is this recognition that they are now into a time of 40 days of giving up chocolate or whatever. You know, Jesus says, you don't need to do that. Put on the ash or put on the dust or and just please bathe. You know, you don't need to go about that ritual. In fact, what you should do is just anoint your head with oil. It's a symbol of bathing. It's a symbol of perfume, or oil was a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's this inviting the Holy Spirit within you, and don't disfigure your face, and don't go about doing that. And that's how you fast. It's the secret thing of, man, I want to connect with God here, and I don't really need all the theatrical things around it. I just really need to connect with God. And so that's what Jesus is saying here. And so I want to give you the reasons why and how we fast. The why we fast and how we fast. But first, I want to give you a definition of what fasting is, because some of you may not understand what fasting is. So here's a really good definition of fasting. It's up here on the screen. Christian fasting is the act of intentionally abstaining from food or a regular enjoyed good gift from God to focus on a period of spiritual growth or deepening our relationship with God. In the act of fasting, we are humbling, denying the flesh to focus on and glorify God. Become more in tune with His Spirit and go deeper in our prayer life. I think that's a fantastic definition of fasting. And so, more than our bodies are dependent upon food, our souls are dependent upon God. And so when we fast, we set aside a meal, we don't eat. It could be breakfast, it could be lunch, it could be dinner, it could be a whole day, it could be a couple days, some fast 7 days, some fast 14 or 21 days, some have fasted 40 days, have gone into a 40-day fast. I know my dad has done that, and he was foolish enough to do it around the holidays, and so we were enjoying these great meals while he was like, oh man, I'm really fasting here. But if you've never fasted before, don't jump into the 40-day. That's like jumping in the deep end of water if you can't swim. You know, if you never swim, I think I'll go off the high dive. If you never fast, don't go the 40 days. Start slow. It's like a muscle. You're building that muscle up. And so just start slow. Start with a meal. Start with just maybe two meals or a day or something of that nature. And start slow and progress into fasting. So I'm going to give you a couple things of why we fast, a couple points on why we fast, and a couple points on how we fast. All right, you with me? You taking notes right now? First one, why we fast. We fast to express our delight in God's goodness. Psalm 63:1 says, "Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there's no water." So David is saying here in this psalm how his soul is thirsting for God. His flesh is desiring God more than anything else, more than anything substance that can bring any good gift from God. The greatest gift I have is God Himself. I desire the goodness of God. I want to partake in the goodness of God. And so when I'm fasting, I'm saying, I really like this sandwich, but man, what I like more than this sandwich is I love the goodness of God. And I want to get in and experience the goodness of God. And I love what it says in Zechariah 8:19. Look at this. This is an amazing verse. It says this from God. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month and the fast of the fifth and the fast of the seventh and the fast of the tenth shall be to the house of Judah." Listen, look at seasons of joy and gladness and cheerful feast. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. So cheerful feasts. Feasting on what? God. Cheerful feast of feasting on God. Of desiring the goodness of God in our lives. If you want to fasting is bringing you into and a desire of, I need God in my life. So we fast for the goodness of God. Second one, we fast to confess our need for God's grace. In the Old Testament, in Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2, we see fasting associated with the time of confession, of repentance for sin. We often see this in 2 Chronicles 7:14, Psalm 35:13, Ezra 8:21. They're all about this humbling yourself before God. This humbled is this, I am desiring God more than I desire food. I am repenting over my sin. And in a lot of these cases is a church fast, a corporate fast, of going together and repenting for the sin of a nation. Saying, God, forgive us of this sin that we have engaged in as a nation. And so we corporately fast and seek the repentance and ask for repentance and forgiveness of God. And I think this is so important too as individuals. If you're struggling with a stronghold in your life, a sin, he says, man, I just can't break this sin in my life. I can't break the sin, let it be pornography or lying or deception or whatever it may be, or the sin of gossip in my life. And you say, God, I need your grace here. I would encourage you to fast and say, God, I am seeking forgiveness of this sin that has gripped, the stronghold that has gripped, in the grace, we sang it early, the grace of God breaks the chains of strongholds. Woo! I don't believe that I didn't get one amen out of that. The grace of God breaks the chains of strongholds in our life. Amen? Man, that is amazing. God's grace is so amazing, and it comes through more intensified when we fast. Number three, why we fast. We fast to submit, seek and submit to God's will. I know many of us wonder what to do. I mean, you ever wondered what to do? You ever had to make a major decision? I wonder what should I do? We see this in Scripture. Ezra chapter 8 says they prayed and fasted that the Lord would give them safety, direction, and favor with the king. He says this, the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. The hand of God is good to those who seek him. How do we seek him? Through fasting. Through fasting. Nehemiah 1, he fasted and prayed before he went to the king. Daniel fasted in Daniel chapter 9. Each of us, we all want to know what God's will is for our lives. We all want that. Any major decision in your life, I would encourage you to fast and pray. Thinking about purchasing a house, fast and pray. Fast and pray. You're thinking about where you should go to school, what career you should take, fast and pray. You're thinking about asking her to marry you, fast and pray. You're thinking about making a big purchase or whatever, a career choice, a move, or whatever, a big decision in your life, fast and pray. We talked about this last week. His kingdom come, his will be done. How do we know that? By fasting. By fasting and praying. Number four, why we fast. We fast to anticipate the return of God's Son. This is huge. We fast to anticipate the return of God's Son. Look at what Matthew 9:14, Jesus is teaching on fasting. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Basically, they were hungry and wanted some of what they were eating. And he says, why do we, the Pharisees, fast and your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to him, listen, can the wedding guest mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And Jesus is saying, when the bride and the bridegroom are together, when Jesus, he's there in the presence with them. It's a picture of him and his disciples together. You don't fast. In fact, you celebrate. We see this celebration as what is happening in heaven when we go to heaven. I don't think there's going to be fasting in heaven. It talks about feast in heaven. But when they're separated, that's when you fast. And here's what I mean by this. In this world, there is much going on in this world. There's hurts, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's difficulty in this world. I shared with you last week, I go through experiencing chronic pain, and a lot of you are. And you're like, man, this stinks. And some of you have some major health issues or difficult issues, relationship issues. And when we fast, say, God, I just, would you come? I'm sick of sin. Romans chapter 8 says the earth is groaning for the return of God. Shouldn't we do the same? God. Jesus, come. Because we are living in a sinful world. Jesus, come. And not only fasting for him to return, but Jesus, come into this situation here now. Come into my presence here and now. I know your timing is your timing, and I pray, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But Jesus, while I wait, come into this situation. Right here. Right now. Jesus, come. So it's very right to fast that way. So how do we fast? Last week I talked to you about how we pray, the ACTS. How many have been using that? Anybody?
All right, a few of you people. That's great. The rest of you, you're dead to me. The ACTS, remember what it was? Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's how we pray, right? It's an example. It's not how we have to do it every time, but it's an example of how to pray. This is another acrostic, and it's using the word fast, F-A-S-T. And now, every time I use an acrostic, I usually don't do these things, acrostics, because it brings me back to college. My professor, when we were doing like speech and sermon preparation, he said, never use acrostics. They're beneath you. Don't use them. So here I am two Sundays in a row. F is this, focus on God. Focus on God. Matthew 6, that our fasting is not seen by others, but by our God, who will reward you. When we fast, we focus on God. It's feasting on God. It's longing for him. I'm longing for him. My heart is focusing on God. That's why Jesus says, don't let it be seen by men. Make your attention. Put your focus upon God. A, abstain from food. Now, when I say abstain from food, already I get here, but what about? Obviously, there's people who have medical reasons that you cannot abstain from food, and you shouldn't. For those medical reasons. But fasting is normally done by abstaining from food. You say, well, can I fast from other things? Like, I'll fast from technology. I think it's good and right to fast from technology. I think it's good and right to fast from technology right now. It's not a bad thing if the Lord leads you to do that, go for it. But I think what's really at the heart of what Jesus is saying is and what he's teaching is about food. Putting aside food. Why food? Because food is a good thing. I like food, and in fact, I think about food all the time. Food is a God-given addiction. Is it not? It's a God-given addiction. He puts this desire, this need, a need in our lives for food, for our stomachs to be filled. And so he created this way. So Jesus is saying there is a need that you have, but I'm a greater need. There's this good thing that I'm giving you, but I'm better than that good thing. There's something that is wonderful that you should partake in, and he gives us wonderful things. But I want you to put that aside. Put the gift aside and seek the giver. Seek the giver. And so when we are fasting, our food is for him. Rather than on the basic things in this world, I need him more than I need steak and potatoes. I need God. So I would say, if you can't fast food, find another God-given addiction. Remember our definition of fasting? Christian fasting is the act of intentionally abstaining from food or a regular, enjoyed, good gift from God. So what are our regular, enjoyed, good gifts from God? And I was trying to think and give you some examples here of how we can fast this way. I think these are some good examples. Fast TV. Instead of watching TV as a regular habit in your life, spend that time fasting and praying. If you're younger than 30, this will apply to you. Fast video games. Instead of spending the amount of time you would be playing video games, fast it for a day, fast it for a week, and spend that time in prayer. Fast weekends out. Many of you like to go out on the weekends, good things, eating and enjoying, camping, hunting, fishing, whatever you do on those normal times that you would set aside normally for doing something fun and good, fast that and seek God. Fast from your phone. Instead of always texting or being on your phone, especially at night, when you get home from the day's work and you just sit down and you just say, oh, I'm going to just veg out and scroll through my phone. Fast from that. And I'm going to seek God in prayer. Regular routines in your life. This applies for those who cannot fast food. Fast food. I'll tell you that right there. Just stay away from fast food. Fast food. But fast your lunch hour. And here's what I mean by that. if you get, you know, a certain amount of time during the day or whatever, you know, get a half hour, an hour, whatever, it doesn't take you a half hour, an hour to eat. It doesn't. So go ahead and eat, then spend the rest of that time just praying and seeking God and enjoying Him and being in His presence. So F, focus on God. A, abstaining from food, which leads to the S part, substituting eating time with prayer and study. Fasting is not just going without food or going without something. It's not saying, oh man, I missed lunch today. Well, I guess I fasted, you know. No, you're substituting that time in prayer and study with God. You're spending that time with God. Fasting from technology is not just not looking at your technology or watching TV and then going and reading a book or going outside and do whatever. No, you're spending that routine, that special time that you normally do with God. It's not just giving up something, it's replacing it with Him, putting Him in your life. And spending that time connecting with God. And I also think it's not just praying and reading God's word, but I think it's spending time silently listening to God. Be still and know that I am God. Sitting in His presence, listening to what God says. And if you have the gift of tongues, I think it's a time of speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit to God and seeking Him that way. Feasting on the goodness of God. And here's the cool thing. When you fast from food, what happens is you get hunger pains. Right? You get hunger pains when you fast from food. You go, like, miss the morning, and all of a sudden you realize, man, I am hungry. And all of a sudden you look across, you know, you're at work, and you look across, and somebody's, like, putting chapstick on. You're like, man, that chapstick looks so tasty right now. You know, you hunger for things. And what I think that what's so good about that, the hunger pains are indicators. They're ding, 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 hunger pain, pray. Ding, 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 you're fasting. That hunger pain is a reminder, stop and pray. Listen to the hunger pains. As an indicator, you're fasting and seeking God. So it's not just don't eat and do whatever you want from fasting. You're substituting that time for prayer and fasting. And the last thing, Jeff and Em, God bless them. They're doing children's church today, and Debbie's doing nursery. Last, taste and see that God is good. David wrote in Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, I love this. Taste and see that He is better than the food I like. Taste and see that He's better than life itself. He's better than spending this time playing games. He's better than spending this time on TV. He's better than whatever I like to do. He is better than that. He's better than Facebook. No amens there. He is better than Facebook. He is better than anything else. Jesus is better. He is worth it all. Listen, I love coming to church. I love it. I love that we get to meet and we get to worship. Man, wasn't the worship songs today just powerful? I mean, just the presence of God in this place. The Spirit of God is in this place. I love it. I love preaching. I love hearing others preach. I love diving in the Word of God. I get so close to God in those ways. I get so close to God when I worship. I get so close to God when I'm in His Word. Oh, it's so wonderful. But I'm telling you right now, that's the appetizer. When you fast, you're feasting on God. It takes you to a whole nother level. It takes you to a whole nother presence in His with Him when you fast. And it's hard. I get it. It's hard. But when you've developed that spiritual discipline in your life, oh, God enriches you. You grow spiritually. You grow more closer to Him. You understand His will. You understand where He's leading you. You understand things that you didn't understand before because you're focusing in on the goodness and the grace and the wonderful blessings of God. You're saying, God, I need You more than anything else. And it takes you into a deeper, wonderful level. So why aren't we doing it more? Man, it's great. It's a wonderful experience. I would encourage you, fast. Find His presence through fasting and prayer, seeking Him. Take time to do it. I'm going to invite the worship team back up here. And we're going to close out the song, but I just want to remind you the reasons why we fast. We fast to delight in God's goodness. We fast to confess our need for his grace. We fast to seek and submit to his will. We fast to long for his return and his presence in our lives. How we do it, we focus in on God. We abstain from food or some other need in our life. We substitute that time in prayer and study, and we taste and see that the God is good. I told you this is a little mini-series within our series, the When You Do's. When you give, when you pray, when you fast. These are spiritual disciplines in our lives. These are spiritual habits in our lives. So what steps are you taking? What steps are you taking to develop that? I've been meeting with my boys, and we were setting some goals for them and a lot of different things. And one of the goals we've set is a physical goal. What are you going to do physically and stuff? You know, and they both said, well, we're going to join a gym. And it's week two. Where are you at? Well, we're going to join a gym. You know, it's kind of like this right now. When I preach these sermons, well, we're going to do that. Well, we're going to give some time. Well, we're going to pray some time. Well, we're going to fast some time. Now, what steps are you taking to develop the spiritual habits that will develop you into a godly person? What steps are you taking? And so I just encourage you this week, put a plan together. Put a plan together of how you're going to give, how you're going to pray, and how are you going to fast. Put a plan together and move into that. Move into that and see what God does. I'm telling you, God's blessing is going to pour into you like never before through developing these spiritual habits that honor him, glorify him. And the Bible says it's very clear, he will reward you. He will reward you. So let's stand and let's sing this song together.